sermon this morning is not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of the gospel. Now, I do have sermon notes I always put out on the table out there. And if you didn't get any, I'm sure Nick wouldn't mind to go grab them. If you would like a sermon note, you know, with the little blanks and stuff, just raise your hand. I'm sure Nick wouldn't mind. You wouldn't mind, Nick, would you? If anybody didn't get it and would like one, just raise your hand and he can go get that for us. That's all right, Alexa. That's all right. Oh, Jody missed some right there. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So while he's getting that, I wanted to mention. So everybody take a look at this. This is Bethlehem Baptist Church softball shirt. Okay. And I'm bringing it up for two reasons. It's actually partly where the sermon came from, okay? Because on the it says Bethlehem Baptist Church on the front, okay? And on the back, at the bottom of the shirt, I chose the verse, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Well, anyways, I wore this shirt on July 3rd when we had our event, and a few people were saying, oh, I like that, can we get one? And then I also wore it when we were getting our pews last week. And more people were asking, you know, hey, I'd like to get one. And I said, okay, well. So anyways, I wanted to show you the shirt and let you know I'm going to do another order. They do cost $20. They're a little more expensive. Let me explain why. They are dry fit material and it's screen printed. So it doesn't like peel or anything like that. So they're a more expensive shirt, okay? But anyways, they are $20, and if you would like one, let me know. Now, on the back, I'm going to see if we can change it instead of a number, because if you're not playing softball, you might be like, I don't really need a number. I'm going to see if maybe we can get like a cross or our logo, the Bethlehem Baptist Church logo that we have. I'm going to call them tomorrow and see if we can put our logo on it. So anyways, if you're interested, I do have a sheet that I will lay out there for you to put your name and your size, the size of your shirt. So just to give you an idea, I wear XL. CJ, what size was yours? Just adult small, okay? I think they're all men's sizes, I do believe. So, you know, keep that in mind if you're a woman. But CJ has one, and she wore it last week as well, and it, you know, looked really good, if I can say so myself. Beautiful, my wife there. That's my wife. Make sure everybody knows I was talking about my wife, all right? Before that scandal gets started. All right, Romans chapter number 1. So anyways, not ashamed of the gospel is the message today. And that comes from the verse there. Romans chapter 1, we're going to read verses 13 to 16. Verses 13 to 16. Starting in verse 13, it says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, which means he was hindered. He wasn't able to go. That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for everyone that took time to be here today. Lord, I thank you for your spirit, Lord, and how you've been working here at Bethlehem Baptist Church and just the unity that we've had and all the work that we've accomplished with all the different people involved. They've been praying. People have been giving. People have just been involved in so many ways, too many ways to list, Lord, and we're thankful for that. We just pray that you'll be with every heart now, Lord, and speak to hearts as only you can. Be with me now as I preach, Lord, and call to remembrance the things you'd have me say. And we'll give you the glory for it all, Lord, and help us to remember to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So by way of introduction here, I just want to mention that, you know, the world around us has so many agenda items, right? If you know what I mean. I'm not trying to make anybody upset this morning, but I'm trying to preach the Word of God to you here. But the world around us has so many agendas. You know, I'm a public school teacher, and of course we know that in the public schools, not everybody, because there's good Christians in the public schools, but in the public schools you have trying to force the whole gender ideology on people, and they're not ashamed of what they're trying to do, right? They're trying to force on, you know, same-sex marriage or abortion rights or things like that, and they're not ashamed of it. And yet, here we are as Christians, we're ashamed sometimes. Sometimes even apologetic of the beliefs that we have. Now, let me make it very clear before we dive into the message that when I'm talking about making a stand for clear Bible positions, I'm talking about doing so out of love and out of kindness. Okay? I'm not talking about being rude and hateful and calling people names and driving people further away from the cross of Christ. Okay? I'm talking about taking clear Bible positions in a way that people know while you're doing it because you know and believe the truth and that you love and care for me. Okay, I want to make that very clear. Now, 3 points I want to bring to your attention today. First of all, I want to remind you of the supremacy of the gospel. The supremacy of the gospel. Second of all, we need to have a desire to share it. A desire to share it. I didn't alliterate my points this morning. That's okay. And then thirdly, I want you to see that we have the power to do it. Amen? God gives us the power to do it. Now, this is I just got done preaching through 1st and 2nd Peter, and we dove very deep into Scripture. Today is a more of a surface message, but I believe it's one that's needed to remind us to not be ashamed of the gospel. Now, look at verse 16, please, and we're talking about the supremacy of the gospel. Verse 16, one more time, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, if you have notes this morning, the first point I want you to see under the supremacy of the gospel is that we as Christians need to have confidence in its message. We need to have confidence in its message. 1 John 2:28 says this, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." You see, Christian, as I said, the world around us, they're not ashamed of their agenda items. They're very confident in what they're trying to push on other people. So as Christians, why in the world, when we have the God of the heavens, the God of the universe, the one who created us, gives us his gospel message, and we don't have confidence in it? We're just not sure. We need to have confidence in the gospel message. You say, well, Pastor Kurt, what is the gospel message? Well, if you have your Bibles, turn over just a book to your right and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. And basically, I'm going to lay out the gospel message in its entirety here. Just a very, you know, just obviously an overview. You could dive deeper. But I'm going to give you just a very basic gospel message so you know when we say the gospel, what exactly are we talking about? What exactly are we talking about? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now look at verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Verse 4. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." You see, church, that's the gospel message. The fact that you and I are sinners in need of a Savior. Okay, many of you know this. I get that, but some here don't. And if you do know it, you need to be reminded about it. That you and I are sinners. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day, proving that he was God. You see, folks, that's the gospel message right there. And you and I need to have confidence in the gospel message. You say, well, I don't know, some people just don't believe that. Listen, people just have to use their common sense to look around the world today and see that people are sinners. You don't have to convince people of that. Each and every person who lives, they know they're a sinner. You see, Christian, I'm talking about having confidence in the supremacy of the gospel because people know it. If you tell them they're a sinner, they know it. They may say, well, my good outweighs my bad. They may say something like that, but they know they have some bad. And by the way, their good doesn't outweigh their bad, right? I mean, it may, but most of the times it doesn't. And I'm not saying put them down as a sinner. You and I are a sinner as well. But my point here, Christian, is you can have confidence that when you share the gospel message with somebody that they're a sinner, that's step one, admitting they're a sinner, they know they are. So you're not telling them something that you don't have to convince them of something that they need to understand rocket science for. Let them know they're a sinner. Well, I don't think I am. Have you ever lied? Yeah, well, then you're a sinner. Actually, you're a lying sinner, right? You're a lying sinner. And we all are. And that's the point, Christian, is you need to have confidence that this isn't just some crazy off-the-wall message. The world around us knows it. And you see, have confidence in the message too, because the gospel not only tells us that man, you know, men and women, are a sinner, but it also tells us that there is a Savior. Amen? That's why we can have confidence in the message. You tell somebody they're a sinner, they know it. And then they are looking for an answer. Guess what, Christian? You have that answer. It's the Savior, Jesus Christ. You don't have to question the gospel message, but have confidence in it. Secondly, in our notes there, the gospel message hasn't changed. The gospel message hasn't changed. Revelation 14:6 says this. It speaks of the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. It's the gospel message hasn't changed since the beginning of time. Amen. The gospel message, what is it? Acts 4:12 tells us this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, church, the world today around us, our society, they think they need a different message. They think the message should change. And a lot of churches, I'm not trying to be mean, but a lot of churches think, okay, well, we just need to change our message. Well, that's wrong. The gospel message hasn't changed. You're a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know that, I'm being awful ornery this morning, but you know, the gospel message, that's the love that wins. Amen? That's the love that wins. If you're catching my drift there, I'll be a little nicer this morning. Thirdly, under your notes about the supremacy of the gospel, I want you to notice that the gospel, not only should you have confidence in it, not only has it not changed, but the gospel also will transform. It will transform. Look at Romans 12:2 in your notes. It's there. Romans 12:2 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, church, the gospel message isn't just the fact that Jesus Christ can save you. Obviously, that's the most important part. I get that. That is the most important part. Hands down, that is the best. Absolutely. But it doesn't stop there. The gospel message also is a message that you, if you are a child of God, a Christian, you're supposed to be transformed. You're supposed to be different from the world around you. People are supposed to see a difference in who you are. If it hasn't transformed your life, do you have the gospel? Amen? Hey, you may be right with God and be like, I'm just backslidden. Hey, I get that. That's between you and God. I know. It's between you and God. I can't judge your salvation. I don't know. It's between you and God. But if your life hasn't changed at all as a Christian, you need to ask yourself, have you truly accepted Christ as your Savior? The gospel will also transform. And then secondly, in our notes, not only do we have the supremacy of the gospel, but we, as Christians, need a desire to share it. Look at verse 13 again for me, back in our text of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1, verse 13. Paul speaking here says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you. In other words, he planned a whole lot of times to come to you, but he says, but was let hitherto. Something hindered him. Something kept him from going. And then verse 14, he says, I'm debtor to you guys. And then in verse 15, he says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. You know what Paul was saying there? And this is number one in your notes under desire to share, is Paul didn't give up. Paul didn't give up. Praise the Lord for that, right? God used Paul to plant churches all over. And then from those churches, we have churches that sprang out of those churches. And then we have churches that sprang out of those churches and churches that sprang out of those churches. Thank God that Paul didn't give up. Christian, I don't know where you are today in your walk with Christ, but are you at a point where you're ready to give up? Don't give up. Paul had a desire to share. Basically, in verse 15, when he says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Basically, he's saying, with everything that I have, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm not going to let anybody stop me, but I'm going to preach the gospel. That's what Paul's saying. Christian, do you have a desire to share it? Do you give up? Half-hearted commitments aren't worthy of the gospel message. Amen? You know, of course, we understand in relationships when, you know, my wife and I, CJ, when we started dating, I thought, you know, we were in high school. Well, we dated a little bit as eighth graders, broke up. Dated a little bit as freshmen, broke up. She didn't want anything to do with me as a sophomore. And then junior year of high school, we got together again, and we've been together since. You say, well, why? Okay, great, good story. Why do you bring that up? I bring that up for this reason. When I was in high school as a junior, I thought she was the most beautiful person, right? And I didn't go to the same high school as her. She went to Goshen. I went to Loveland. I was telling everybody, oh, man, just wait till my girlfriend comes. I'd just tell everybody. I wouldn't shut up about my girlfriend. Of course, my wife now, right? But I wouldn't shut up about her. Christian, when you first get saved, if you don't have a burning desire to tell everybody about it, what's the problem? Amen. And then maybe you're like, you know what? When I was saved, I told everybody. Everybody knew I was changed. Everybody knew I was a Christian. And now 15, 20 years later, you're like, new people at your work, they don't know. What happened? What happened? Do you not, are you not in love with God, with Christ like you were when you were first saved? Am I not in love with my, you know what? I still tell everybody about my wife. And I mean, obviously I'm not perfect, almost. I'm not perfect as a husband, right? But I have to, you know, constantly we have to work on our relationship just like anybody else. But Christian, if you told everybody 10 years ago, hey, man, I was so happy God saved me from a literal burning fiery hell, I couldn't tell enough people. And then 10 years later, you're working with somebody, they're like, oh, you go to church? I didn't know that. Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, I didn't know that. That should convict your heart. Honestly, we're talking about not being ashamed. That should make you ashamed. Not trying to be mean to you today. I'm just saying, if Jesus Christ has saved you from a literal burning, fiery hell, you should want to tell people about it. Christian, and listen, I'm a public school teacher. You know, I'll admit to you, it's hard. Let's just be real honest today. It's hard. You're at school or you're at work where nobody wants to hear it. Yeah, I get it. I get it, because it's hard. You're like, well, if people know, then they're going to be rude. And, you know, whatever, I get it, it's hard. But I'm just saying, I have to challenge myself, so I'm challenging you. And again, I'm not trying to be mean, but when I see how brazen the world is about their opinion on stuff, look, if they weren't shoving stuff in my face, then I'd be like, okay, I get it. We're all keeping it to ourselves, whatever. No. They're shoving it in your face. They're as unashamed can be. And you know what? God really just convicted my heart. Like, if they can be as unashamed as they are about the positions that God is clearly not happy with, Kurt, why are you standing over there almost apologizing when they're so unashamed of it? And I'm telling you, God convicted my heart. Again, I'm talking about out of love. I'm talking about being kind and nice when you share the gospel. I'm not talking about yelling and screaming at people and making it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing it in a loving way. But my point is, if they can be so unashamed, why can't we? And yet we cower in fear sometimes, all right? Amen? So secondly, in your notes, don't be ashamed. So number one, he says, no, don't give up. Second of all, don't be ashamed. Psalms 107, verse 1 and 2 says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Notice this part, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're a Christian, let people know. You know, me and Caleb were just talking about the Bengals, right? I love the Bengals. And buddy, I love the Reds too, but the Reds just are terrible. They're terrible. The Bengals actually, they were just in the Super Bowl last year. And they improved in all these areas, the offensive, oh my goodness. I mean, it's great. The receiving core, I mean, if you don't know football, this you're going to be like, what are you talking about? They have a really great receiving core, a bunch of good receivers. They upgraded their offensive line like crazy. The Bengals are for real, right? And I get excited about that. And you know what? When I'm, as a Bengals fan, I'm not ashamed to be a Bengals fan. Amen? Who day, right? Let's go around shaming. Why? Because I'm a fan of them, right? So the point is, as a Christian, don't be ashamed to be a Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, Paul says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us. I'll stop there. What he's saying is the love of Christ, the love that I have for Christ, I can't help but tell you about it. It constraineth us. Like it's driving me to tell you about it. In other words, he's not ashamed. Acts 20, 31 says this, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul was so not ashamed of the gospel that he said, for 3 years, I couldn't stop telling you about it. I just had to preach it to you day and night. Everyone night and day with tears. Next in your notes there, not only to not be ashamed, but it said, but I want to remind you that Christian, you're not alone. You're not alone. I know in this world today, it can feel like it. And we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night, but John chapter 12, verse 42 says this. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Did you hear that part? It says, among the chief rulers, many believed on Jesus. Many believed on Jesus, yet they were afraid to say it. Why? Because they were afraid of the consequences. Is that cancel culture right there? Amen, right? They were afraid of the consequences, right? So among the many believed. So here's what I want you to understand, Christian. You're not alone. Many people out there believe. They're just afraid to speak up. So if you speak up, guess what? You might start to find some other people who believe exactly the way you do. They just don't have, I don't want to say they don't have the courage because I don't want to put them down because I get it. But I'm saying if you have the courage to speak up, they may all of a sudden find that same courage. And then you have a friendship right there. You know how many times I heard dealing with teenagers and young adults, especially teenagers in high school, right? I'm the only Christian in my high school. Like, no, you're not. I can name like 14 other Christians that I know. They're just not the ones you want to hang out with. Amen? Let me say that again. I'm the only one that's a Christian in my high school. No, I can name like 14 other ones. They're just not the ones that you want to hang out with. Right? Well, I don't want to hang out with them. I want to hang out with this person. Well, there's your problem right there. Switch who you're hanging out with, and you'll find some Christians. You're not alone. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14 and 18, if you're not familiar with the story, we have a prophet named Elijah, and he just had a great victory over the prophets of Baal, okay, the bad guys, all right? And he was up on a mountain, and he called down fire from heaven, and God really showed him a great victory. And then King Ahab and Jezebel wanted to kill him. So what happens? He fled for his life, and he runs into a cave, and in that cave, God reaches out to him with a still, small voice, if you've ever heard that saying, okay? A still, small voice. And here's what Elijah says in verse 14. He said, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And he says this, and I, even I only, am left. And then in verse 18, God speaks back and says this. Oh, wait, and they seek my life to take it away. God responds with this. Elijah, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. You know what he's saying? Elijah, you're not alone. There's a whole bunch of Christians out there that are ready for you to speak up. Christian, maybe you started a new job recently, and you're like, well, I'm not really. Speak up. Again, not rude. Not, you don't have to tell them everything they're doing wrong and all that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when it's lunchtime, pray for your food. Right? How about when they say, hey, man, oh, I got hammered over the weekend. What did you do? Oh, I went to church, man. Right? You don't have to tell them how, you know, don't do that, right? Just tell them what you did. Be a witness. And guess what? You might find another person sitting across the table at lunch that says, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. I am too. You're like, oh, great. Now you have a friendship. Amen? Christian, you're not alone. So thirdly, not only do we see the supremacy of the gospel, not only do we need a desire to share it, but thirdly, God will give you the power to do it. The power to do it. Now, here's what I want you to notice, first of all, in your notes. Remember that it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Look at verse 16 in our text. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of, everybody? God, the power of God. We need to remember that. When we try and do it in our own strength, no wonder we fall on our face. No wonder we fail time and time again, because we're forgetting we have the power of God Almighty. Look, it's not the power of Pastor Kurt. It's not the power of, you know, Sean and Rebecca. It's not the power of Bethlehem Baptist Church. It's the power of God. Remember that, Christian. We forget it's the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Romans 8:11 says this, but if the Spirit of Him, Jesus, right, or God, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know what he's saying? The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. Lives in you. Well, God, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Well, yeah, you can't without the power of God. You know, and guys, you need to understand, you have to rely on the power of God. When you try and do it in your own strength, When you try and do it in your own wisdom, you're going to fall short time and time again. So remember, it's the power of God. And you know what? That should make you feel less stressed. Let me say it like that. Because you know what? I just got to do what God tells me to and leave it up to Him. Because it's His power anyways. That should take a huge burden off of you, Christian. Because you know He'll do it. Just do what He tells you to do and then let Him take care of the rest. Amen? Should take a whole lot of stress off of you. All right, secondly in our notes, under the power to do it, as Christians, we have a job to do. It is the power of God, but He tells you to do a job. It's a job for you to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Now notice this, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what that is? That's a job description. Christian, hey, I want to sign up to be a Christian. You know, you accept Christ, you become born again. Here's your job description. You are now a minister of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means anybody who was born is a sinner and they're separated from God. You as a Christian have the job to reconcile them back to God. Oh, that's interesting. You have a job to do. Christ gives us this ministry. Now listen, Christian, here's what you need to understand. If you accept Christ, He can take you to heaven the moment you're saved. Like you get saved and immediately you're on to heaven. Why doesn't He do that? Because you have a job to do. The book of John chapter 17, verse 15, Jesus is praying for His disciples and ultimately us as Christians. And He says this. He's speaking, He's praying to God, and He says, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil. So He leaves us here because we have a job to do. Christian, here's a question. As a school teacher, right, that's, you know, my job as a teacher, I get evaluated every year, sometimes multiple times. My first year of teaching, I got evaluated 9 times. 9 times. 3 from my principal, 3 from a teacher, like a veteran teacher, and then 3 from the state. I taught in Kentucky my first year. I got evaluated 9 times. That wasn't fun, okay? But it helped me, okay? So Christian, I'm asking you, evaluate yourself right now. If God were to evaluate you on your ministry of reconciliation, what kind of grade would you get? Would you have a lot of red pen everywhere? You're not doing a very good job, right? And listen, if you haven't been doing a good job, that's okay. Just start right now and doing a better job because you have a job to do. And then thirdly, in our under the power to do it, God will enable you. God will enable you. 1 Timothy 1:12 says this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You see, Christian, as I kind of said a little earlier, it should take a little bit of stress off to know that you don't have to do it in your own strength. God will enable you to do it. You're like, God, I don't know how I can. I'll tell you that. God, I don't know how I can be a pastor. I don't know how I can preach. I don't know how I can do that. God will enable me to do it. You're like, I don't know how I can witness to my neighbor. God will enable you to do it. If you let Him. If you let Him. Acts 1:8, Jesus speaking says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will come inside you to live. That will be what gives you the power you need to live for me, to do what I've called you to do. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says this, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So you see, Christian, as I mentioned, you don't have to stress about the results. You just obey. Do what God tells you to do and let Him give the results. Now I want to close with this. I want to give you a few practical things about not being ashamed of the gospel. Let me just share with you, and listen, I'm not the, by all means, I mess up all the time, and I fall short all the time, okay? I'm not trying to hold myself up as an example or anything, but clearly, as your pastor, I want to be an example, okay? So I want to give you just an example of this past week of ways that we've gotten out the gospel. Number one, you got to be mindful of it. We talk about that in Sunday school, right? Being mindful of it. If you're not mindful of it, you're not going to do it. Here's what I mean. Tear tracks with you. Okay, we went down, I love ice cream, okay? We went down to Miranda's at the bottom of the hill. Has anybody been there to Miranda's ice cream? Anybody? Yeah, right? Have you been there? Okay, has anybody else? Nobody else? Y'all a bunch of sinners. Go down and eat some ice cream, would you? Man. I'm just kidding. At the bottom of the hill, go down Morrowoodville, go left out of the parking lot. At the bottom of the hill, there's a Mexican restaurant, Don Bigotes. Right behind it, there's a little ice cream shop called Miranda's. And they have soft serve ice cream, but they also have hand dip ice cream. They are not sponsoring this sermon, all right? I'm telling you for a reason here. We're going to get ice cream. Who thinks about sharing the gospel when you're getting ice cream? Well, you know what? I'm like, man, CJ always has tracks in her purse. I have them in my car, and I try and put them in my pocket, but I forget a lot. And CJ always has them in her purse. And I'm trying to be mindful, if she's not with me, to make sure I put them in my pocket all the time, at all times. So anyways, we're at Miranda's eating, and they have an outside patio. And there's a family behind us just eating, you know, on the picnic table behind us. And I'm like, you know what, CJ, give me a track, you know? And I just go, hey, how you doing, man? And I gave him a track. Oh, yeah, where you at? And I'm like, we're right up the hill. And so I gave him a track and that welcome, you're invited little postcard thing. And, you know, who knows if they ever come. But I got out the gospel. Then we were driving down Rochester Gazadel Road. And this woman that lives right there had her, I don't know, 8-year-old son and a dog. And the dog runs right in the middle of the road, right where we're coming. And I was going slow. I didn't kill the dog, if you're wondering where the story is going. This is the worst story ever. How do you do it? I was going slow, and I slowed down, and the dog, it was funny because the woman's like, get off the road, you know, like yelling at the dog. And the dog stops right in the middle of the road, and he had a tennis ball in his mouth, and he just drops it right in the middle and looks at us. You know, it was the funniest thing because it's like the dog just stopped right there. But you know what? Hey, that was God saying, here's an opportunity. So I rolled down my window, and I was like, oh, don't worry about it. We have a dog. We know how that is. Oh, by the way, I'm a pastor right up the road. Let me give you this track. And she was like, oh, okay, right up the road, right? You know what? Mindful. Just be mindful of it. I didn't have to go and, you're going to listen to what I say, people. You know what I mean? You just have to be mindful in your everyday life to bring a track with you. And the people that you interact with, give them a track. Well, obviously, when you go to a restaurant, you can do that. We went to Castle Skateland yesterday afternoon. Alexa wanted to go skating. So yesterday afternoon, I was kicking myself because I didn't put tracks in my pocket. And we're skating around, and we if you've ever been to Loveland Castle Skateland, there's like a section to sit down on, right? And Alexa was tired, so we sit down. I wasn't tired. I'll go for days. And so we sit down on the thing, and this guy, like a teenager, starts, oh, yeah, this is fun or something. And then we started talking to him. And I was like, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And he, oh, no. And I said, well, hey, let me tell you about our church. And I told him, but I was kicking myself like, man, I wish I had a track on me. Because, you know what I mean? So I could give it to him so he could take it with him. So Christian, I'm going to close with this. God will give you the power to do it, but you have a job to do. You need to be mindful of it. Just carry tracks with you. I'm not saying be mean, hateful, and stop somebody on the corner and be like, let me tell you why you're going to hell. You know what I mean? I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying in your everyday life, who you're interacting with, give them a track. And you know what? Let God give the increase. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll just take something that was said today, Lord, and speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll help